itself unseemly, and seeketh not her own. It is not easily provoked, and thinketh no evil. We're going to focus mainly right there on the love not seeking her own, or love not looking to build itself up, or someone displaying this type of love is not thinking selfishly. That's what we're going to be focusing on today. Before we go any further, if you guys wouldn't mind bowing your heads with me one more time as we pray over this message. Father, thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for who you are. I thank you so much for the people who have come tonight. I pray that you would speak through me, that you would forgive me for the ways that I failed you. Seems like I fail you so often. But you continue to show me faithfulness and continue to show me your love and your grace and your peace. And I pray that that's what everyone would experience tonight. And I pray that these words would come out and change hearts, convict hearts, that we would, even in this moment, be willing to see how we can better serve you after we leave here. I pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ, knowing that because of that it will be done. Amen. So, probably isn't some kind of new news to any of you here, but we live in such a selfish culture, right? Like so much selfishness, always trying to build up each ourselves instead of trying to build up someone else. In fact, many people call this the selfie culture, not only because of the fact that the selfie with the duck lips and all that, you know, with the camera has hit America with such a strong impact, but because for such a long time, America has been solely focused on self. The people within America have been solely focused on self. It does not take much to see that. I mean, if we examine ourselves, we find that even in our own selves, even our own hearts, we have bitten off a chunk of this selfie attitude, this selfish attitude that the culture just radiates, and we ourselves have fallen into that as well at times. I don't think that any of us in here are immune to the temptation to serve ourself. And it comes in subtle little ways that we might not realize. For example, when you hear somebody say, well, you deserve a little time off, you know? You deserve a little break. You deserve a little vacation. What's happening there? Subtly, what's being fed is, do something for yourself. Think about yourself. And now, don't mistake what I'm going to be saying throughout the whole of this sermon here. I'm not at all condemning vacation or any type of taking care of oneself. I think that we ought to spend some time trying to maintain ourselves, obviously. But there is such a fine line between maintaining oneself and then focusing on oneself solely. Do you understand the difference there? And we're going to try to dig into that fine line. We're going to try to see if we can identify that fine line within the culture, within ourselves, and within the people that we come in contact with. How many of us in here are believers? I think all of us, right? We're all Christians. Then this is important for us to understand. I believe just by who I'm looking at and just by the fruit that I've seen produced in each of you, I believe that I am looking at a crowd of Christians. I believe that wholeheartedly. And I believe that it's important for us as Christians to identify what is being talked about tonight and what Adam talked about last Sunday, specifically on the topic of selflessness, selfless serving, seeking joy in serving, having the attitude of a servant, and then selfishness. We have to identify those two things. We have to wage war against the selfishness, and we have to embrace that servant attitude, that let me help you, let me serve you, let me build you up instead of myself, that John the Baptist, he must become greater and greater, and I must become less and less, right? That's the attitude we ought to have as Christians. And so, as I'm talking, feel free to input any personal experience. If I take some time to ask a question, please feel free to respond. There is no one in here that will condemn you for responding to any questions that I have, hopefully. So anyway, so just a fun little fact as we get into this. We are at such a part of the selfish culture, such a part of this selfie culture as it's been identified, that Oxford Dictionary, I don't know if you guys have heard of that, has named, back in 2013, the word selfie as the word of the year. Do you believe that? Selfie. Now, that's talking about the pictures that people take with their phone. That's talking about the attitude that people often have. Selfie was the word of the year for 2013. Isn't that crazy? That is insane that would be the word that is chosen as being the word of the year. Now, as far as I understand, that doesn't just apply to America, but it largely applies to America. Selfie, the word of the year. I thought, how interesting that is that would be the word. And then I started to pursue the thought of why we do things like take selfies, why we have things like Instagram where we post the selfies. Some of you may be thinking, what in the world is Instagram? It's a social media platform where people can post pictures, and then people can come in there and like those pictures and comment on those pictures. Oftentimes, what you see on Instagram is a whole bunch of, like, crazy faces and, like, doctored up. Like, people have, like, really spent a lot of time making their faces look good and then putting them on there and getting hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, of likes. Celebrities get on there and post one picture of themselves, you know, smiling or something like that. Thousands of likes. It's just ridiculous. Of course, I have an Instagram account, so it's really that ridiculous. And I just thought, so what's the attitude behind having something like that, where you can just post these pictures of yourself, post these pictures of your face and of the things that you do and of the things that you experience? And we see it in Twitter as well. Twitter was designed specifically so that you could tweet out little things that you're doing here and there, only focused around you, right? Build up as many followers, build as many fans as you can on Twitter, and you'll become important, you'll become cool, you'll experience happiness and joy, right? No, that's not right at all, no. I thought the attitude behind this is self-seeking, self-entitled, self-importance, any other word that you can think of with self in front of it. That's all it is. And these platforms, these social media platforms, which, by the way, I do not condemn. I think that they are gifts that can be used for very very good outreach and for a lot of good. But what they are, what they have become, is a product of what the culture has made them to be. Now, regrettably, even the church has put some effort into that type of culture. And it's a sad thing. Because on a big scale, oftentimes what we see happening within churches, that is, us as believers gathered here, us as believers who have become members of this church, we are, you understand what I'm saying, right here, right now, those of us who have come together and joined here for the purpose of serving Stillwater, this is who I'm talking about, and I'm talking about other places just like this. What has happened is, you heard the key thing that I said there, those of us who have come here to serve the city of Stillwater, what happens? What happens in people like that? What happens within Christian communities like that that ends up being selfish? Can anybody say it? You take away that phrase, to serve the city, to serve the people, and immediately the church is a product of culture. Selfish. Not focusing on servant-minded, or not focusing on servant-like qualities, but instead focusing on themselves. That's right. Even a group of Christian believers, even a group of faithful followers of our Lord and Savior, even those people together can breed selfishness. Now, I'm not necessarily saying that's what happens here at Grace, but what I am saying is that if that is even remotely, even a little seedling, a little sprouting up out of the ground, just a tiny little plant, then take a flamethrower to it. Disintegrate that right now. Let us not be a church of selfishness. And as far as I am concerned, nearly everyone in here is not focused on themselves, at least as far as the church is concerned. And I rejoice about that. But there are so many other people who are not here tonight that may be struggling with that, right? And it's our job in being faithful to what God has called us to here in Stillwater to set an example of selflessness, to set an example of servants, right? To do what God has called us to love the city, to love the people, so that we're not seeking our own gain, but so that we're seeking the gain for the kingdom. That is, we're going out there trying to win souls. We're seeking gain for discipleship within the church. That is, Phoenix, the girl that gave her life to Christ in teen camp this past week, she needs somebody to disciple her. She needs somebody who's exemplifying this type of love. I do not build myself up. I do not seek myself. I seek God, and because of that, I want to serve faithfully however I possibly can to further the people that are around me so that they can come to experience God and His love on a whole different level. That's what she needs. Somebody to step up and say, hey, come here, let me teach you. Let me be 100% accountable in my actions so that you can learn how to be the best Christian that you can possibly be. That way, in 10 or 12 years, you're sitting in my seat and you're doing that for someone else. Amen? You don't have to say amen, but I hope that you're screaming it inside at this point. Amen. Yes, 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 we want to be selfless like that. Yes, we want to be selfless like that. Yes, that sounds like a fire alarm. No way. Oh. All right. If you'd like to come forward now, now's the time. The thing about it is I see this. I see this in your hearts. Trust me, I do. I know that I've spoken several messages in front of you guys that sounds like I'm just punching people in the throat in this church. That's not at all what I'm doing. But I see so much potential in Grace Missionary Baptist Church for the city and for other churches, for other people gathering here, trying to follow some communal calling in this city that we could set an example for. Did I say that properly? We can set examples for these other people. And so when I come up here swinging and punching and clawing and calling out all sorts of things that we can never fall into as a church, I'm not doing it because we've fallen there. Sometimes maybe we have. I'm doing it because we need to absorb this. It needs to become our life motto to love selflessly, right? To serve selflessly. To do exactly what we see here happening in 1 Corinthians 13, to love like that. To be willing to run when the time comes at the end of the service, to run down to the altar and say, Phoenix, come here, come pray with me. Let's learn how we can disciple you. Maybe it's not me that's called to disciple you, but let's pray together that you can be discipled by somebody. That somebody would be selfless enough to disciple you. That they would care less about themselves than they care about furthering the kingdom of God on this earth. That they could come up to you and want to teach you. Right? Now, that is a direct admonishment. Come on, let's do that. That is a direct calling out. Somebody, go to her. She needs it. Somebody go to some of these youth. Somebody go to Brother Chris and Sister Melissa. Somebody go to Brother Alan, Sister Monica. Somebody go to these young people in the church that may think they've got it figured out, but in reality they need some selfless serving, right? Somebody teach us. Somebody teach me how to serve selflessly. Somebody, come on. I mean, I think that we should all be desiring that. It's either that he doesn't want teaching or he doesn't know anything. Either way, come to him. But come on. And you yourself can say the same thing. Come here. Come work with me. Come hold me accountable that I may serve selflessly. Imagine that type of what's the word I'm looking for? Imagine that type of, I thought I could find the word if I said the sentence again. Imagine that happening within the church. What'd you say? Yeah, imagine that commitment. Oh, there it is. Imagine that type of commitment within this congregation. Not just these people that are here right now, because we know that there are many who are part of the church who are not here right now. Imagine that type of commitment. There would be no time that the doors were open that people wouldn't be flooding in here. Come on, you know, pulling me or pulling Phoenix or you know, pulling Brother Adam or somebody that they're trying to, like, be accountable with, pulling them by the arm saying, come on, the doors are open. Let's go in there and let's love selflessly. Let's serve selflessly. Come on. Right? And then you leave this place and you're skipping and you're hopping with joy because you're released. Like kids out on a playground. You're released to go out there and do what you enjoy. To do what you've been called to as Christians. In Galatians 5:22, turn there with me. Galatians 5:22, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. I'm pretty sure Adam has probably used this verse several times. What are the first two things that we see there? What are the first two things? Somebody say them out loud for me. Love and joy. Love and joy. Well, and we know what love is because we've spent however many weeks now diving into the minutiae of what love is. Today we're talking about the specific aspect of love where it serves selflessly. The fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit that dwells in you, Christians, the fruit of the Spirit that dwells in you, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, that dwells in you, that produces the fruit of love and of joy, long-suffering and peace, those types of things, is calling you to serve as we see here in 1 Corinthians 13. Now, here's the reality. If the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy, and we know what love is, because this aspect that we're talking about today is serving selflessly, and the Spirit is producing joy from that serving selflessly, where do we seek that? Do we seek that joy? Now, I'm going to ask a couple questions here. You can respond if you want to. You absolutely don't have to. But I want you to respond at least within your heart. Tell yourself, dig within yourself, find out what's going on inside your heart here. What brings you joy? Does the Spirit produce that fruit in your heart? Or are you seeking it in other things? Let me ask another question. What brings you happiness? All right, there's some of you probably thinking, aren't they the same thing? Don't they do the same thing? What's the difference between joy and happiness? Some of you are probably thinking, why is he talking to himself? I get it. Joy, very simply put, is an outward-focused, inward-lying thing. Joy is found within the heart that is changed by God's Spirit, that is focused outward, right? Joy is focused on the people. Joy is focused on what we can do to serve and to help. Joy is focused on what we can do for God that He has called us to in the city, in our homes. That's where joy is found, as long as we're faithfully serving God. So it's outward focused but inward lying. Happiness is often inward focused but outward lying. Does that make sense? It's inward focused but outward lying. That is, what can I get out there that will make this feel better? You see the difference there? Now, that is often the case, believe it or not. Regrettably, although the two should be one, yes, happiness should be tied so closely with joy that the two are inseparable. Our happiness and our joy should be in serving God. However, it is often the case that those two do not coincide. Oftentimes, our joy is buried deep beneath what we think makes us happy. You understand? Do you believe that? That we sometimes in our lives bury what the source of joy should be, which is serving God faithfully, and we instead try to identify the happiness that we have in things found in this world as joy. That's not right. That goes against what we see here in our passage. That's a selfish tendency. What is it that I can grab? What is it that I can get? What is it that's out there that can make me happy? You hear that phrase? You hear that question? And now, like I said, I'm not saying that any of you think that way, although I'm sure we have all thought that way at least once. But what I am saying is, if we can crush that, if we can stomp that out in ourselves, then we can be an example for people out there who are deep in it, who have almost completely forgotten the joy that is in their hearts, or who haven't experienced that joy at all because their entire lives revolve around the world and what it has to offer. What we see in Galatians 5:22 is that we were created for joy, that every single human being is created for joy, but only those who have turned away from the fallenness and from the brokenness of being in sin can experience that joy, right? Only those who have turned to God, surrendered to Him, accepted His Spirit, and then that Spirit produces joy, produces a willingness to serve God. It's very upsetting because the world that we live in due to the result of the fall of man, has twisted joy into this unrecognizable thing. Literally, the world believes that happiness is joy, and that happiness is found in obtaining whatever they possibly can to further themselves. If I get enough money, if I can do this, if I can do that, if I have a nice car. Listen, let me just, a couple of instances in my life recently. I may be getting deployed soon to Kuwait and in Saudi Arabia, Afghanistan, Iraq, Qatar. It's a mouthful, I know. I may be getting deployed through those areas. Three of those areas are combat areas, so I know that I'll be getting a little extra money for combat pay. It's going somewhere, I promise you this story. And I thought to myself, I can give my Jeep or sell my Jeep to Chris and Melissa because they've already asked for it. Sorry if one of you wanted it. They've already asked for it, so I thought I'll sell that to them for cheap, and then I'm gonna get me a nice vehicle, the nicest vehicle I've ever had. I mean, I got this one. It's nice. I'm going to take a step up from that because don't I deserve it? I mean, I've never driven a nice vehicle. I've never driven a vehicle newer than 2006. You know, listen to this. Listen to what I've been telling myself for a couple days now that I've had to repent of. Literally, I'll spend hours thinking, what vehicle am I going to get when I'm over there? You know, military benefits, this and that. What kind of vehicle am I going to get when I come back? I'll be able to drive for years and never break down. I'll never have to worry about changing my oil. I'll never have to worry about anything. My vehicle will be indestructible. It will be the only vehicle that never runs off gasoline. It's going to be the greatest thing. It's going to be the greatest thing. And then I have to like spend some time sitting there just rebuking myself, letting God's Spirit say, what? Did you just spend an hour and a half thinking about what vehicle you're going to get? First off, Garrett, you're not even deployed. So where's this money coming from that you're thinking about? Second off, you have college to pay for. You're going to tithe to the church. You're going to do all these other things that I've led you to do. And then if you have enough money, and if there's a vehicle out there that you feel like you need, if that vehicle doesn't work for you anymore, because me and my faithfulness, I have kept that vehicle together for you for as long as you've needed it. You haven't even thanked me for that. What are you doing? And I just have to sit there and repent for my selfishness. How many people are walking around? I got on Craigslist. This is no joke. I got on Craigslist last night. Oh, man. I got on Craigslist last night in the process of kind of looking for a cheap Jeep. Still kind of struggling with that selfishness in my heart. The very first thing I saw, this is what led me immediately to just stop my ignorance. The very first thing I see on Craigslist when I typed in cheap Jeep was this lady who had posted a selfie, ironically, of herself on Craigslist, and out beside it, it said this, in desperate need of a free vehicle. Now, my first thought as I was looking for a Jeep was, what? She's just asking for a free vehicle. Why doesn't she go and like work, put some effort into getting this vehicle? Oh, man. It didn't take very long at all before that mentality was washed out, and I was realizing, there are people just like this woman that I'm seeing right now. I don't know what's going on in her life, but she is pleading with somebody, with anybody, to give her help because she doesn't even have a vehicle. And I'm over here thinking, I deserve a better one than the one that I have. Can you relate to that? With anything, can you relate to that? Be honest with yourself. What is it that we want so badly that we feel like we've deserved? That other people don't even have, that we don't even let for a moment the thought come into our mind, maybe I should give them what I have if I'm going to get something nicer. Or maybe I should just be content with what I have. That's a good first step. Right? It's crazy. The fallenness of man has produced this idea that happiness is found in things of the world, and that if we please ourselves, we will find joy. It's crazy. Now, the truth is, very plainly, and I'm almost finished here. I wanted to keep this short because I have a belief from experience in preaching that if you don't keep a message short, and if you don't go off on random tangents like the one I'm doing now, then people will not forget the meat of the message. The meat of the message today being, we need to love selflessly. We need to serve selflessly. The main thing is this, that we are called as Christians. You're all Christians. You've said that you are. You are called to serve God, that is where your source of joy is. That's where it is. You do not have to say amen. You do not have to shake your head. You do not even have to agree with me. If you don't, you're wrong. The scripture teaches us that our source of joy is a fruit produced by God's Spirit. What does God's Spirit call us to do? His will. His will is furthering His kingdom. His will is serving Him, loving people, going out and bringing souls to experience the love of Christ, not going out and living for yourself. God's Spirit doesn't produce a brand new vehicle or $1 million. That's not God's Spirit. God's Spirit is calling you to be faithful for spiritual work in this world. In the process, granted, He will bless you if He sees fit. And if He doesn't bless you with worldly things, is He still good? Of course. Of course. I think it's beautiful. It's beautiful that we have opportunities to suffer financially and things like that. Because we truly, as I've told you guys several times, as I have learned the beauty of serving God instead of the beauty and the happiness of things in the world, I've learned to distinguish happiness and joy. I think it's wonderful when God allows us to suffer through some things so we can experience that. So here's the deal. Let's stop trying to build a tower of joy through magnifying the flesh. Let's stop trying to find our joy. Let's stop trying to be selfish. Let's stop doing these. Hold on. Let me backtrack. Let's stop trying to find our joy in the world. Let's stop being selfish. Let's stop magnifying ourselves. Let's start serving like Christians. Let's start serving like Christ. Let us love like Christ. Let us be like Christ. We are Christians. That name alone means little Christs. We have to be little Christs. We have to go out there and let the Spirit of God, which is a light inside of us, fly through the city. It is amazing to me how many lost people are in Stillwater, Oklahoma. Do you know how many lost people are in Stillwater, Oklahoma? There isn't even a poll for how many lost people are in Oklahoma. I mean, in Stillwater, Oklahoma. There's just so many of them. And so many of them are saying, yeah, you know, I believe in God, you know, this and that. But they are depressed. They are low. They are sunken. They are gone. They are broken. And we as Christians are called to go and to serve selflessly, to love selflessly these people that we so often walk right past in this city. Now, here's the deal. You're the church. You're the light to this city. Imagine this. Imagine this for a moment. If Grace Missionary Baptist Church was the only congregation of Christians in the city of Stillwater, have we done enough? If we are the only church that is in Stillwater, Oklahoma, have we done enough? If we were the only church in Oklahoma, have we done enough? If we were the only church in the United States, have we done enough? If we were the only church in this neighborhood that we're in, right here, this little, you know, however many mile area, all the way up to Sunnybrook, where our jurisdiction technically, you know, it's gray area. Have we done enough? I don't know how you'll take this, but please take it. Please understand that it's coming from love. Regardless of how much we ever do, I hope that answer can always be no. We haven't done enough. No, we haven't. And I hope that urges us, that pushes us to do more, okay? I hope that we genuinely have a desire. I pray that we genuinely have a desire to be mission-minded in this city. That Belize and that Teen Camp is it where God works the most, but here in this congregation, as it moves to and fro through the city, as we go and buy our groceries, as we speak to people, as we walk here, as we go there, as we pay our tickets for speeding, as we drive places, as we do whatever we do, as we buy our milk, as we eat our food, may that be the time when we have mission minds, right? May that be the time that we're living out the Great Commission. May that be the time that we're thinking about others instead of ourselves, instead of thinking that God can only work through trips to Belize and Teen Camp. Instead of thinking, oh, God can only work through a pastor or preacher getting up there and shouting and screaming and making his voice go hoarse and wearing these super nice microphones. That's only the time that God can work. No, no, not at all. May we never think that way. And if we have, repent, period. It's not that big of a deal to repent, except that it really is. Do it. Do it if that's your mindset. Do it if you think that God can only move here. Do it if you only think that God can move in Belize. Do it if you only think that God can work in teen camp. Do it if you don't think that God cannot. Do it if you don't think that God can't work through you. Repent. Drop those thoughts. Squash that plant. Incinerate those feelings, those ideas. May you love selflessly. May you serve selflessly because you raised your hand and said you're a Christian. And because you're sitting in these chairs. That alone tells me that you've been called to serve in a way that says, no, I haven't done enough, no matter how much you do. Let's seek to serve without thinking of ourselves. Let us seek to love without thinking of our own gain. A very famous man once said, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." The same man that said the quote that Alan gave this morning that I regrettably cannot remember for the life of me. Forgive me. I was listening. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Spoiler alert, that means that those who are serving God faithfully as Christians, those who are putting themselves lower, those who are saying to everybody else, they must become more and I must become less, not just saying, Jesus must become more and more. Jesus must become the greatest. But everyone must become more than me. I must become the absolute least that I can be the, in the very end, be the stepping stone that somebody lost can step up on so that they can reach Jesus' hand. May that be me. If it comes to me laying face down in the dirt so that somebody can step on my back to reach the hand of Jesus, may that be me. I must become less so that they can become more. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And if that is your attitude, right there, if you're laid down on the ground being the very least, spoiler alert, you get the earth. You get it. You get it. And what that means is you have went beyond. You have, forgive this strange term I'm about to use, you have transcended this selfishness. You have come above that. That means all these things that other people are trying to kill one another for, it doesn't even matter anymore. Now, that's what I want to end on. That image right there. Becoming the least so that everyone else can become more. Just let that sink in as we pray. And as we prepare to close here, let that sink in. Are you willing to be the absolute least so that the absolute least can become more? Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, thank you for what you've done. Pray that you'd be with us as we go from this place, that we would not seek to magnify or to glorify ourselves. Father, we beg for your forgiveness as believers, as sanctified souls, as we sit here and we think to ourselves, yes, I have been selfish. We beg for your forgiveness. Identifying those thoughts that don't belong in our head, God, we are free from those chains. We are free from those chains. May we leave this place and truly be driven to serve selflessly, to love selflessly. May we find our joy in the kingdom and its work and not in the things of this world. Could we, with every breath that we take, want to serve you better? Can we truly say to ourselves, I want you to be more than me? Would you help us to understand that, God? Would you help us to live that out, to believe that, to apply that? Would you help us to look like that? May we all become little John the Baptist, hopping around saying, you must become more and I must become less. God, could you make that our mentality? No more selfishness, no more selfie culture. Could we make the new word of the year love? Father, I pray this all in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.